What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Thanks for joining us again. This week, we discussed the Dead Files episode Demon War, Season 4, Episode 4. Original air date, August 2nd, 2014. There's a lot of fours there.
Mm.
Amy, do you want to tell the masses why we chose this episode?
Sure. I found this on a Dead Files Reddit board, not our Reddit, the Dead Files Reddit. And since it was another Ohio one and last one was too, I decided we'd just make a whole series. Mm-hmm. So this is from Zesty Close Road 836 is the one that suggested it. And they said, hey, everyone, I've been watching the Dead Files and I remember skipping this episode because of this city, because that's where I was born and raised. And the name of the episode, Demon War, really creeped me out. Well, I watched it and I can't lie. It terrifies me that there are literal demons in Toledo for one. And for two, there could be demons in my house. I guess it's one of those things that I just can't believe are in the city or whatever. Anyways, if you've watched it, what are your thoughts and opinions on the episode? And at the time I pulled this, there weren't anybody mm-hmm. giving their thoughts or
responded, ideas. Yeah.
But I thought, oh, it's an Ohio one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it was like.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Housekeeping. I want to welcome any Hainted Loves who might be visiting for the first time.
Welcome.
That is people that are from the Homespun Haints podcast.
Yes.
That we are buddies with. They recently recommended us best to friends. Their patrons.
We're so. Best friends.
Yes.
They don't know that, but. Just.
I tried to get Diana to move here and move into my mom's apartment, but she's about 10 years too young.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hainted Loves, we're happy to have you here. Please check out our Patreon because our little coven, if you want to call it that, is an amazing group, just like the Homespun Haints group is. In fact, one of our ghosty fam recommended Homespun Haints to us, and that's how we connected.
Yes.
So huge thank you to whoever that was. I can't remember exactly who it was, and I went back to Patreon, and I dug through everything, and I could not find it. But thank you. You know who you are.
You know who you are. And if you want, you can tell us who you are so we can thank you properly.
And we'll correct it in the next one.
Yeah.
And we're gaining a lot of traction on Spotify. So welcome to all the new people who found us on Spotify.
Welcome to the party.
Thank you. We hope you stick around.
We do. We're hilarious.
All right. Yeah. You know how much I love Shut the Fuck Up, Nicholas Shea?
Yes.
With Daisy and Ellen.
Yes.
Daisy and Ellen, nothing pisses them off more than somebody saying that they are funny, that they themselves are funny. Not that Daisy and Ellen are funny, but anyone who says we're funny, they get really pissed off.
But I mean it sarcastically.
You know.
I'm not.
I know.
I mean,
I always laugh when I hear them say that. I'm like, I hope they don't listen to our show.
No, they would. Yeah. they would.
Content warning. We talked about sexual abuse
and sexual assault
by a ghost, but yeah, still
from a ghost to a human. But it was very real.
Yeah, yeah, sure was for her.
Yep.
Anything else? There wasn't.
We touched on child death in history for like a second, but
we didn't like describe any of it or anything. Just, it's just, you know,
a couple of kids passed in a in a fire.
In a fire, which we didn't go into it too much. No. But anyway,
that's it.
I think that's it. Yeah. So enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Demon War, and Amy is here with your overview. Here you go, Amy.
Thank you. Today, Amy and Steve travel to Toledo, Ohio, where Angie, her partner Leslie, and her daughter Maggie, and Maggie's two-year-old son Nathan, say their home has gone from mildly creepy to physically dangerous. What started out as noises and apparitions has allegedly turned into scratching, burning, shoving, and even sexual assault. Angie describes seeing an older gentleman in the home who doesn't feel threatening, but she also claims to have encountered something far darker, a horned, inhuman figure in the mirror that growled and came straight at her. She recounts being pinned to her bed, unable to breathe, and feeling violated. Meanwhile, Maggie says her toddler has been knocked to the ground and somehow managed to unlock a window he shouldn't physically be able to open. On Amy Ellen's walk, she says she encounters multiple entities. There's an older male spirit who seems protective and distressed. There are victims of what appeared to be a massive historical accident. And then there are what she describes as demonic creatures with bat-like faces, sharp teeth, and a clear agenda. Steve's investigation uncovers two major historical threats. First, a devastating 1898 grain elevator explosion that killed 15 people, including children. Second, a former homeowner, Clarence Brown, a Depression-era counterfeiter who operated a ring out of the house. After prison, marriage, and years of mental decline, Clarence was eventually institutionalized, dying decades later of cerebral atrophy. When Amy and Steve compare notes, the older male spirit appears to align very well with Clarence, but that's not what worries Amy the most. She identifies a poltergeist phenomenon in the home, possibly being fed by strong emotional energy from the living, and she makes her most alarming claim yet, that the two-year-old child has abilities that are attracting demonic entities who want to use him. Her recommendations? An exorcism of the home, a child psychologist for the toddler, and potentially an exorcism for him as well. Is this a case of layered history colliding with family stress and trauma, or are there truly darker forces at work in this house? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. I'm so used to you doing that after every time I like hear the name of the show in my head. Mm-hmm. I hear you're in my head going, wah, 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 wah.
As you should.
I know. All right. So this time Steve is Steve DeSabi.
Like wasabi.
Yeah. He's spicy today.
Spicy.
We do have a ring shot almost immediately.
Of course.
When Steve is in the car saying, I'm headed to the heart of the Rust Belt, Toledo, Ohio. And he explains that the client is a woman named Angie. Everybody in the home is being pushed, scratched, burnt, and even molested. I noticed that it looks really cold. I know. Yeah, I think I mentioned this before. We should have done these Ohio ones in the middle of summer for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like, that just looks like outside. And that's doesn't look very comfortable.
It's 22 degrees here and I've got a heated blanket on my feet because I have been freezing all damn day.
Yeah. I still don't have heat in all of my house.
Still. How are you?
We have space heaters everywhere.
Oh, my God.
There's heat now in most of the house, but not in the bedroom or the downstairs area. I have it in my office here, but not in the main downstairs area. But we have space heaters out there.
Oh, my God.
But even with the heat, it doesn't get warm in my office. I have a space heater on all the time in the winter.
Yeah.
But it's warm in here now. It's fine because it's getting nicer out. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yes, Amy, first person she meets is the angry man. She says
we should put angry males on our business, our bingo cards, not our business cards,
not our business cards,
our bingo cards.
Amy and Megan, angry males. But yeah, I will add it to the bingo card. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah. There's always an angry male.
That's right. Well, almost always. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we meet Angie. She talks about the family. We see a picture of their cute little kid.
Oh my God. He is. I just want to like put my face into his little baby belly and just kiss his belly.
He is very cute.
He has a little, the little like toddler baby pot belly. Oh my God. Uh-huh. I can't. It's the cutest
and
thing.
And those chubby little cheeks.
Oh my God. And his little adorable smile with his still teethers.
Yeah. He's very cute.
He is so and cute.
His shirt says, good looks courtesy of dad. Nice gift. I wonder who gave you that.
Yeah, right? He is so cute. I just can't even handle him.
He's very cute. And then, Angie tells Steve that it looks like, it seems that the activity has been in the house since they moved in. And they've been there for what? How long?
12 years.
12 years. That's what I thought. Yeah. But it kind of got amped up when Nathan was born. And I was like,
baby,
that happens.
Yep.
And she does say they can't move because they put all their money into this house, which we hear time and time again.
I mean, I know Steve is like, why don't you just move? And we all think that. But like we say, that's expensive.
It's very expensive.
It is so, you can't just pick up and move. Like it's, and being there 12 years, I mean, they've accumulated a lot of stuff. And also people aren't calling Steven if they're going to move. Like, right. Obviously that's not an option or they'd fucking move.
Yeah.
So I get why he asks it.
Yeah,
but
because
it's like,
we're as us watching, we're like, why the fuck are you still living there?
Just move.
So he wants to ask that so that we know.
Yeah.
I will say about the moving and the, remember last week when I found the house and we found that the owners of the house sold it for $1,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find something similar in this one, which we'll get to in the research and rabbit holes.
And rabbit holes.
Yep. At the end there. Anyway, so Angie does say she doesn't know any history of the house.
And I thought it was really interesting because he was like, do you know any history? And she goes, me personally, no, I don't know any history. So it makes me think either she just phrased it weirdly or somebody around her has done research and, you know, somebody, it's just a weird way of phrasing it.
Mm-hmm.
I could be reading too much into it. Maybe she just, you know, but.
But the way she said me personally,
yeah,
that makes it sound like someone else has, but I haven't.
Somebody else knows the history, but I don't know the history.
Yeah. And then we'll get to this part, but the ghost that she talks to or whatever, you know, she knew his name.
Mm, I know.
And was all like, nope, I never heard that name. I didn't know anything about it. Well, I mean, I hope she's being honest, but
yeah,
what if somebody did do research and told her a guy used to live there? Yeah. Anyway, she says she was never a believer before. Now she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then Amy is walking around. Oh, she sees these things that look like little fucking demons and they're getting too out of hand. And the old dude.
I mean, how are they in hand? How would a demon be in hand?
Demons, yeah, usually are out of hand, I think,
from
what I can tell. She did make it sound like they aren't necessarily demons, like actual demons. She says, for lack of a better word, I'll call them demons. Or she says, you would think of them as demons. Like, so they're not really like little minions of the devil, I don't think. Mm-hmm. They're just evil little characters.
Entities that,
yeah. And then she says, this old man says he can't fight anymore. He's been trying to and he can't fight anymore. And then when he's talking to Angie and he goes, well, Angie, I'm going to ask you some questions you're not going to like. And I'm like, here we go. Here we go.
Yep.
And he says, medications, alcohol abuse, anything that may cause you to hallucinate and see these things? You boozing?
I mean, who's going to say yes? But God, honestly, I was tripping hard on some PCP.
No.
I just done some angel dust, so I can't say for sure. But
I can't say for sure, but I'm sticking with my story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I know why he has to ask it. It's just, it's, you know, it's just funny.
It is. It is.
Because everybody's going to say no. You know?
I know. I know. Well, and then, I'm guessing if he didn't believe them, he would press a little harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like he did with that kid who I had One seance.
One seance. Oh, well, maybe a couple
maybe
more.
Maybe it was two. Maybe it was four. Maybe.
How many was it? 17.
Dumbass.
I know.
He thought he could get away with lying to a homicide detective.
Not from Steve.
Nope. Nope.
Give him a shovel because he'll dig into it.
That's right. That's right. He'll be digging true.
Digging true, your bullshit.
I love it. All right. So Amy's talking again about these things. I just want to note, she says they're weird looking. They have bat faces, pointed ears, big eyes, and sharp teeth.
Don't
which
like
I'm
that.
I'm gonna have ChatGPT draw that if they will. Sometimes they go, we can't do that.
Yeah,
they drew some. Oh, it's the little girl with the ringlets from last week.
Hated that one.
I loved. I thought she was adorable. I said, make a ghost that's really cute, but it's actually not a child ghost. It's an icky ghost pretending to be a child. So maybe have the other ghost in the background lighter that you can barely
see. It was terrible. It was so scary.
I thought it was a really cute picture. She was adorable, but she had these really creepy, like, white eyes. And so then, but they gave it to me in landscape format.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted it in portrait format so I could use it on social media. And so I asked him to ask them to her to redesign it. And they said it goes against our community standards of pictures of a child or something like that. And I'm like, you already did it. All I wanted is a different. All I want you to do is make it different. You already did it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, sometimes it sneaks through before the security gets a hold of it or something like that. So they told me to just put it in Canva and change it there. And that's what I did. Anyway. All right. This made me think of you, Megan, when Angie's talking about things getting moved around the room, like her glasses.
Uh-huh.
And Steve goes, are you sure your grandson's not just playing a game and moving stuff around on you? And it reminded me of when you've lost your glasses a few times and Jordan's moved them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like one time he hid my keys and we seriously spent like 10 minutes looking for him. And he's helping us look. He's helping us.
That's how they, that, you know, like when a girl goes missing and the whole search body shows up and the murderer shows up too.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I'm like, he's like, oh, let's look over here. I'm like, you. And he's like, I just kidding. I hit him. And we got mad at him because like we spent like 10 minutes looking for those keys.
Yeah.
He was like, I was just keeping him safe. And I'm like, while you looked for them, dude.
Maybe he forgot he hit him until he was like, oh,
He is my child. So, you know, I mean, anything's possible.
It is possible, I suppose.
Yeah.
The scene where Angie is telling Steve about the time she was assaulted. And he says, are you talking about sexually assaulted? And she says, yes, sir. I remember feeling violated. I was just crying.
Yes.
And you could see as she's like reliving it in her tears are welling up. And I...
And at first, when she first started talking about it, I was like, come on now. But she, I mean,
yeah,
it was heartbreaking to hear. She's like, he goes, how long did it last? And she goes, it felt like it lasted forever.
Yeah.
And I was just, I just felt so bad for her. Like she really was, it was, I mean, obviously it'd be awful for anybody. And it was like she, like you said, she was reliving it.
Yeah. It felt like it. Yeah. Which I'm sure she was.
Yeah.
When Amy Allen says something.
There's a lot of things that went on up here.
And she sings it. And I'm like, can you, like, let's not do that. Amy, it's not a fun little thing. It's a terrifying thing.
Yeah. No, I would do that too, though. It's just to, like.
Yeah.
Make it not so scary for myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She does see a woman now, meaning Angie, the live living woman, being attacked by nothing, being dragged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Angie saying that she was dragged, but it's possible. Or maybe that was a different person who lived in the house before.
Yeah. Or they cut it or, whatever.
Yeah. Amy says that there is an agent here who is very fucking unhappy and not stable and lashing out.
Maybe a secret agent.
I thought it was interesting that she said an agent.
I know. She's never, usually she says entity or spirit or being. She's never said agent
before. Agent is an interesting.
Yeah.
So we meet Maggie. She's talking about how her son was tossed around.
He's the baby.
Picked up and kind of thrown. Yeah, the The cutie.
The cutie patootie.
Little cutie patootie. And then here's what she talks about the window. She came in when he was throwing his toys out the window. The window was open. Like, mm-hmm. not just, like, open, but, like, mm-hmm. open.
Open. Yeah.
Like, no screen. And he was throwing his toys out the window. And she said that when she left the room, for the moment she left the room, she wasn't gone long, the window was locked. And when she came back, it's open and there's no way he could have opened it himself. I think mm-hmm. she said it was too high up, but mm-hmm. certainly it would have been too hard to do for yes. a little baby, you know, a little tiny.
And that was he's two at the time of this. We don't know when that was.
Right.
So either way, it's not.
Even if at two, it would have been too hard for him to do it, yeah. I assume.
And one thing that really stuck with me, too, is she said, as a mother, I know his cries. Yeah. And it was definitely something I've never heard before. And that's so true. Like, kids have different cries. They yep. have an I'm pissed cry. I'm scared. I'm, you know. So yep. to hear, it was very scary. I yeah. felt that, too. Like, you know when your kid is trying to bullshit you or when they're, yeah. you know, like crocodile tears. That's right. scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steve says, that's a problem. I'm like, thanks. That's an understatement.
Thank you.
While we're naming things, Steve.
Yeah, Captain Obvious. So Leslie's in the picture now. And I mean, there, you could tell she's really upset for Angie because yeah. she's just like, I don't know how to help her. And it's so, so bad.
Yeah. I feel like Steve is kind of like egging her on to say more. I mean, mm-hmm. she's your partner. Leslie goes, yes. I mean, she looks like she's taking it hard. Leslie goes, yeah, she does.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
so he's I
like,
think he was trying to like,
he's like, give me
this
something,
must
lady.
Upset you.
Yeah.
But he's like, she did fine, but it was
she
just,
did, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of what Steve was doing.
Yeah.
She does
yeah.
say the fighting, the mood swings. And then when she gets to Maggie, Angie's daughter, she's like, she's a total wreck. Mm-hmm. You know, she seems like she's possessed. She says she gets mean and hateful. I don't like the drama, she says.
Yeah.
I just want to go back to normal. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
I don't
either.
I don't either.
Could it be that she has a 2-year-old child, Maggie, and that's what's
exhausted.
Making her crabby?
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be. Because I know I'd be crabby if I had a 2-year-old.
As somebody who had a 2-year-old, I was.
And
crabby.
I love 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
Two to 3 to 4 was my favorite age. Once they get to be 5, they're too yappy.
Can confirm. Yeah. I mean, it like constant stream of consciousness and yeah. every sentence, mommy, 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 mommy. Yeah. Can you start a sentence without saying mommy?
Yeah.
Nope. Can't do it.
You know that, I don't know if you've heard the, I'm sure you, I think you've watched the show. I think it's Family Guy.
Yeah.
The little kid on Family Guy.
Stewie.
I have,
mom.
Stewie. Yeah. Mom.
And then she goes, what? And he goes, I love you. And I'm yeah. like, God, I'm so relatable. Yeah.
Yep. I used to have that ringtone when my mom called me. Anyway, now she doesn't
back
call me
when
anymore.
People had ringtones.
I still do. I don't really have them for the telephone. Although I sometimes at Thanksgiving time, I put on a turkey that just goes gobble, 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 gobble.
Oh, sure.
But no, I do different sounds for different people's texts
yeah.
so that
yeah.
I know who's texting me without having to pick up my phone.
Only 2 people on my phone have specific ringtones. My best friend Rachel, mm-hmm. and it says, it's your friend Rachel calling. Don't you want to pick up the phone? And then it's my dad. When my dad calls, it sounds like an alarm. And it says, your father is calling. Have you spent extra money lately? Is there a, like, it's just all of these things about why a dad would be calling. So
how funny.
Those are the only 2 people that have their own ringtones.
I used to have, when I had a boss, I had my boss's ringtone was the theme from The Office.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Anyways.
Off ringtones. Those are fun to talk
If you're new
about,
here.
If you knew who, we do this occasionally.
Yeah. yeah. Rarely.
Just occasionally. Not very often.
One thing I did notice that kind of plays into the whole demon thing is Leslie said her cross was ripped off her neck.
Yeah. And I do have to ponder why it's people who are religious that have demons.
You know? My personal belief is that I think that demons maybe take it as a challenge.
Maybe.
to like, oh, you have faith. Well, let's see how strong your faith is, or let's see if your God can protect you from me.
Maybe.
That's just my thought.
Because it, not just the cross, but that Matt also said there's a lot of religious stuff in here that I got to clear. Mm-hmm. So I did. I noticed that first. And then when I saw the name of the thing, I'm like, oh, of course they have demons. They're religious.
Yeah.
That's how it works. But yeah, so her cross necklace was ripped off her chest and thrown across the room. And she said, I picked it up and I said, so you think you broke it? You didn't, because I got another clasp I can put on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure the demon was like, you got me.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's not clasp. I did not count on that.
Did not count on you having an extra clasp.
He turns around, pack it up, boys. They got a clasp.
Yep. We got to get out of here.
We got to go. Yep. I did not think she'd have a spare one.
Yeah.
But hey, good for her for yelling for Adam and standing up.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed to work. And then Angie at another point talks about how she prayed.
Yep.
I think it was when she was being molested. Yep. She prayed and it went away. And it stopped. You know what? Yep. If that works for you, fantastic. Yep. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Amy does say that they are like some kind of demons, I guess you would call them, is what she says.
Yeah.
They can be kept at bay because they respond to religion. So can be kept away by that. I remember Amy saying at another time in another episode that, like, if you have something, a certain type of entity in the house, let's say it's something that's demonish, you need to bring in a priest. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you believe the client. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It matters what the religion of the thing is.
Yeah.
So it's responding to the thing. So if, you know, I'm not saying a demon necessarily, because I don't think that demons were ever humans.
No.
As far as I understand.
The way that she, and the way that every time Amy's encountered what she calls a demon, she says they've never been human. Yeah. It's never been human.
Right. So that wouldn't be like a dead person who was religious in life. So it's got to be something else going on there. But when she does find somebody that, you know, was religious in life, like we've seen a few where there's like really pious ladies that are like super prim and, you know, hate everybody because they go against her God and all that. Mm-hmm. Someone like that is going to really respond to a priest more than they would a Wiccan or
A medium. Because they don't believe in that stuff, quote unquote.
Yeah. Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. When you think about, you know, the other stuff we've heard from psychics like Erica and Beverly, that, like, not that Beverly's necessarily a psychic, she prefers to be called a channeler, but that believe that they know, and maybe they do, what happens when you die, and that you return to your higher self and you go through a review and, you know, all of that. So these people must not have made it to that point, and that's why they're still earthbound. But you would think that after you die, you would be like, well, maybe all these little religions, all these different religions are really the same thing, just with a different.
But they'd have to be they're too close-minded for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They must have.
If they're close-minded in life, I can't imagine they'd be different in death.
Yeah. They must just not have moved to that plane. I guess if they would have moved to that plane, they wouldn't be haunting someone's house.
Yeah. And we wouldn't be having this talk.
So I guess we just solved it.
Yeah. Yeah, look at us solving the world's questions.
We did that last week too.
Yep.
So Amy does say that it doesn't really matter about the demons responding to religion because there's a poltergeist that's always here. Mm-hmm. And then Matt goes, would you say it's dangerous to be living here? And she says the house isn't the issue.
Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with 3 Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the haunted lounge.
Would you say it's dangerous for the living to be here?
The house isn't the issue.
What is?
They are.
They who?
The living people.
And she's and she said it like, the house isn't the issue.
And she
like kind of like a sassy.
She says, the living people.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of the corner of my mouth, the living people.
The living people. I can't do it how she does it.
I can't either. I love the way she does that and the way like her faces and all that.
I just love everything about her. Mm-hmm. I had a dream about her.
You did? Were you best friends?
I meant to tell you this. There it is. I remember the dream. My sister and brother-in-law had moved into a new house and there were all of these like spirits haunting them. And we were doing like a housewarming party and we could see like a bottle of scotch floated and like landed on the table in front of us. And we could hear all these voices and Amy Allen came in and we were besties in the dream.
Of course.
And she was like saying like, there's bad things here. Like you shouldn't be here. And then she said, I'm going to leave and I can't be here. And she looked at me and she goes, but you call me later because we'll talk. And I woke up and I was like, I should tell Amy. That clearly didn't happen. So I apologize.
That's okay.
Amy's like, I'm mad at you. And the recording can't keep going.
We're done.
We're done. Yeah.
I forget my dreams all the time. So now we're into segment two, the investigation, a.k.a. Digging True.
Digging Through the Archives.
Or what did you call it?
I said Digging True. I said give Steve a shovel because he's going to dig through your bullshit.
Dig through bullshit. That's right. Digging through your bullshit.
Yeah.
Not to say that Mr. Bob Poirier, retired detective, is full of shit because
he does not
seem like it at all.
No.
He was a cool guy, I thought.
I love how they're always in suits. They're both in suits with a tie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they spent their whole working lives in, well, I guess not when they were detectives. They got to wear suits, not blues, but, you know, anyway. So this is where the retired detective, Bob, talks about Clarence Brown.
Yep.
Who moved into this house with his family when he was young, 17, and in 1930.
Right at the
start. And this was Depression. Yeah. And he didn't believe that the government was putting enough money into the local economy. And so he started making money.
Sure.
Counterfeit.
Literally making money. Like he became like rich. Like
Printed money.
Yes.
So we have a printer again. Remember last time we had a printer? And so Ohio must be like a printing.
Like the printing capital of the world.
I know. Of the U.S. anyway. But they have a picture of him. He looks, you know, very, he's young, ordinary looking kid. He says, you know, And yeah,
I mean, like, they all look ordinary, though. Like, how many times has it been like a serial? Not, he's not a murderer or anything.
No,
but,
he's not.
You know,
he's not a violent criminal.
You get these people and they're like, oh, well, like Dennis Rader, we never suspected a thing. Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's how they're able to do it.
That's why he gets away with it.
If they came around wielding a blood-soaked machete, you'd probably call somebody.
That's right.
So, yeah. I don't, he was a clean-cut and ordinary kid. Yeah, that's how they get away with it.
So they were pretty good at it. It actually was considered international because their money was showing up.
Okay. He was like, well, they were considered international. He goes, their money was showing up in Indiana, Michigan, and then he said Illinois, and Illinois. He said,
I'm like,
Illinois.
I don't think it's pronounced like that.
And then, so he's like, they were international, and he talks about all these Midwest states. And then he goes, it even made it into Canada. And like, I know technically that's international, but like barely international.
It's
not like they were flying them to Japan.
Right.
Like, they didn't have this worldwide web of counterfeit gigs that they were like, first it went to Brazil and then it went to the Europe and then it went to Japan, where until it finally got filtered out back, you know, like it's.
Well, and I'm guessing that they only made American dollars.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine they made.
They're over
you
here
know,
making rupees and lira for
that.
Italy. And
so there's no way. Why would it have gone international? Canada doesn't even use our money. I mean, they take it sometimes, but.
Yeah. I'm just like, let's calm down, Bob.
It was kind of silly.
Let's calm down. All right. It's barely. I mean, and love to Canada. No hate against Canada.
Right. Oh, yeah. Love
but
Canada.
Barely international.
Right.
Anyways.
Well, so they got caught. And
these
it was
are the most all-American names, too, because they're like, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. They're like, who's involved? Well, it was Clarence and his dad, Sherman.
Yeah.
The most American names, Clarence and Sherman.
Yep. And then I think his other brother was like.
Lewis, I think.
Lewis, yeah. We've got a lot of Lewis's lately.
Yeah, I've had a lot of Lewis's.
And okay, so then there was a plant on Huron Street, which is downtown.
Yeah.
They busted that and they seized $20,000 there and a bunch of equipment. They show a picture of the equipment. I actually found a better picture of the equipment where you can actually see. It's the same picture, but it's just better quality. And you can actually see the police officer standing there looking at it. And so then he says that they got another $6,000 at the house because they Clarence lived in this house. And he says, Steve goes, that's a lot of money back then. That's a lot of money today. Mm-hmm. And then I was about to jump over and start seeing what it was today.
But
and
they did
Bob
it
says,
for us.
In today's figures, that would be about $340,000, which is probably even more now.
Yeah.
Because this is from 2013.
Bob's doing the Lord's work over here.
That's right. I think. Thanks to Bob. 2014.
Thanks, Bob.
This one came out. So, yeah, there were five. And it was his Clarence, his father Sherman, his brother Lewis, and then two other associates. So Amy is seeing this older man now. He's very much involved with the structure. So we're now starting to go, that's got to be Clarence, right? And he's pretty confused, but he seems like he's a boss. He's a no bullshit kind of guy. Then we find out a little bit more about Clarence. He was sentenced to 3.5 years, served 2.5. And he does not go back to counterfeiting. He goes straight at, as Steve says, which I thought was funny when he's telling the lesbians that this guy went straight.
$26,000 in 1930 would be $506,380 in 2026.
Wow.
So $500,000.
Wow. Wait, was it the 20,000 that he was figuring or was it the six?
I thought he figured both. 20,
maybe he did.
26,000.
I bet he put it all together.
Yeah.
So between 1930 and 2014, it went up to 340. But from 2014
14.
To now, 9 years later, no, 11 years later, 12?
Yeah, 12, almost 12.
It went up. Almost doubled?
100, yeah.
That's insanity.
Yep.
That's inflation for you.
Yep.
Thank you, politicians, for that.
Cumulative inflation rate of 1,847.6% between 1930 to today.
Wow.
Ooh, I can calculate it. Hang on. Sorry. I'm just doing it from 2012 to today.
Okay.
I did it wrong. I can't. My math. Math. I can't.
Math.
Math.
Math. Too gets much. Us again.
It gets thwarted again.
Thwarted again by math.
My nemesis.
All right. So Clarence did not serve too long. He did not stay in. Which, I mean, it's not a horrible.
No, I suppose you're right. He did 2.5 of the 3 years. So he served a decent amount of his sentence.
Yeah.
More than a lot of people serve today for far worse crimes.
Exactly. For sure.
So, yeah.
For sure. He gave up counterfeiting, moved back into the house.
Yeah, he went straight.
He got married.
Oh, love.
Here's a picture of the wedding of Clarence and his wife. Him and his wife had 3 little boys. I'm like, does his wife get a name?
Nope. She doesn't.
She does get a name later.
They never name her.
I think they cut it out because he did mention it later and I found out more about it. But anyway, Steve said it in the reveal.
Oh, in the reveal, did he? Mm-hmm. They didn't say it here.
So they must have cut it out. Because otherwise, how would Steve know? Unless he did a little more digging through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clarence was doing good until his mother died and it hit him really hard. And he went into a downward spiral mentally. She did die in the house. They showed her death certificate. Mm-hmm. And they did blur out the street name. However, I did find the house. And once I knew what the address was, I was able to say that's the one. Because I could see enough of it. They didn't blur it very well.
Yeah.
It's fine. So he died. She died of a cerebral hemorrhage.
No, he died of a cerebral hemorrhage.
I thought this was her.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I thought he did. Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, he also died of cerebral atrophy.
That's
so
why
he still
I got
died
confused.
Of a brain thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I got confused.
Yep. So hers was a cerebral hemorrhage. And then he started getting paranoid and it was convinced that the government was out to get him and they were spying on him. And that is such a recurring paranoia that everybody would be like, the government is not fucking spying on you. You know, and then they put him in a home.
Yeah.
Well, look where we are today.
Yeah. They're spying on us.
They sure are.
It's so bad that I'll think of something and I'll start getting ads for it on my phone.
I know. But it's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird.
But also, spy on me all you want. Like, I'm not doing anything of national concern.
I know. I always say, I don't know why I care because I'm not doing anything.
No.
And I never did care, but now it's starting to freak me out.
Yeah. I don't like.
Even though I'm still not doing anything, I don't care.
My
life is not exciting.
No. I play Stardew Valley. Like half of my Google searches are like, where do I find blowfish in Stardew Valley? How do I get this in Stardew Valley? Like, go for it. Search my history.
Friends, if you're not on the Patreon, you won't know the whole story. Stardew Valley gossip and everything. But join a Patreon if you want to hear Megan's Stardew Valley journey.
Obsession.
That's right.
Or journey. That's nicer.
Yeah. So, poor Clarence, when he was committed, they did electroshock therapy on him, which didn't help, it said. I'm like, what a shock. I know. I wrote, what a surprise. But then I was going to say, what a shock. But then I changed it to surprise because
shock therapy. But I'm ching.
Get it? Love it when I explain my jokes. So
that makes them extra funny.
That's what I've heard.
That's just how you really know.
There's a comedian who does that. And I'm like, dude, if you have to explain it, it wasn't a good one.
Yeah.
He says this guy wasted away to nothing. And I just thought, like, you know, to be fair, everyone who dies of old age is wasting away to nothing. That's kind of what that means.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then he meets with Kirk Baird, who is a reporter. They meet in a bar. It's a really cute looking bar.
It is.
It's like old timey looking, you know, like your old fashioned pub.
I love a good high top table, too. I don't know why. I just love a high top table.
I don't like sitting at them because then I'm like, where's my purse go and a coat?
Yeah.
And pain in the ass. But they're cute.
They are.
I like a bar that has a hook for my purse underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people are banging into it because it's over there. You know, yeah, that's a whole other.
I didn't realize I'd unlocked a trauma with that. Are you okay?
I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
20 minutes later. And then the next thing, it's like, then my purse is gone. And I'm like, where did it go? Kirk.
So Kirk It talks about the Union Railroad, which had a grain elevator.
Yeah.
And he shows a picture of it. And then he says in September 21, 1898, 25 people were working there and they had just received a big shipment of oats. Yep. And they were processing the oats, but they didn't have the safety mechanism in place. Highly flammable dust particles in the air from this device. I had no idea that oats were so flammable.
Me neither.
I guess they're dry, you know, by the time they get to the grain place.
But like, to me, flammable means that it's more likely to be catch on fire than something like dry grass to me is flammable. Whereas I don't know what I'm saying. It made sense in my mind.
Okay. Sometimes when you start speaking them, it doesn't make sense anymore, and that's okay. I was happy to walk through it with you.
You all right? I literally talked myself into confusion.
We're good at that.
We're good. I swear. I've even been drinking. I'm not boozing.
Speaking of drinking and boozing, I see that Kirk has what looks to be a real cocktail in front of him. Looks like a little whiskey sour there or something.
I was going to say an old fashioned.
Yeah, could be.
Kind of the same.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Has
don't
a
know.
Lemon instead of a cherry. So that makes me think it's a sour, so it's probably, but I don't know. So
good
anyway.
Job, Kirk, living it up.
I know. I mean, if the Dead Files is paying, I'm drinking. Mm-hmm. So there was an explosion. This is the rubble. He shows a picture and as Amy says later, it looks like a war zone.
Yeah.
And Steve does say it looks like someone dropped a 500-pound bomb on it.
Yeah.
So then he talks about how a lot of people that died in there, and the superintendent who was working there had his children with him that day. And
they died.
Some of them died, yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them died in the explosion. Some of them died later.
Two of the bodies were never found. 15 people died.
Yeah.
His youngest son, Harold, was 6. Shortly after he died, his 10-year-old son, Hamilton, also died.
Yep. And then his daughter, Gracie, was 19. She died the day after the accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I found more on that accident. And that explosion and the part about her, I won't even get into.
Did she die because of the explosion?
Yeah. Injuries from the explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they called it the Holocaust at Toledo. And I'm like, I think the Holocaust was about killing an entire race or ethnicity of people. And this is an accident at a grain mill that I don't know how you would connect those two.
I mean, the only thing I can maybe take a very loose stretch, is that it was in their minds, like a very detrimental explosion and where lots of people died.
Yeah, I think that's what they were getting at, but it's weird. Hi, friends. Amy here. We were confused about why they would call something a Holocaust so many years before the Holocaust that we knew happened. I didn't realize that it was sort of more of a generic term. So I looked it up. I Googled it. And the dictionary on the Googs does say that it is a destruction or slaughter on a mass scale, especially caused by fire or nuclear war. The second definition is a sacrifice in which the offering was burned completely on an altar. So I can see why they said it. I didn't know that it was a term that had been used before the Holocaust that we had heard of. So in case you didn't know that as well.
I've said that from day one.
If I said it once.
Said it 100 times.
Which... Okay, I'll just get off on this side thing for a second. The last couple of weeks or last couple of recordings, you've been saying, if I had a nickel every time I am finding nickels popping up. Look at
really?
One on my desk. I'm finding them popping up all over my house.
All right, I'm going to start saying, if I had a $100 bill.
If I had a $1,000 bill. I'll share
okay,
it with
that's
you.
Crazy.
If one pops up, I'll share it with you.
That's really odd.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And it's not one of those Bader Meinhof or whatever, where, you know, it's a phenomenon where once you think of something or once you're aware of something, you start seeing it everywhere.
Oh,
like once you buy yourself a red car, you see red cars everywhere.
Or when you're trying
it's not like that. Yeah. I mean, I don't have nickels popping up all over my house usually. That's happened at least two times, maybe three.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Anyway.
Buy a nickel.
There's another one. Just kidding. All right. So then we get to the sketch, and this is the same sketch artist
as
last
time. Yes, it is. Maybe
he's an Asian dude.
He's their Ohio-based sketch artist.
He must be. Mm-hmm. And his art is very good. I really enjoy it.
Yes, it is.
He does like charcoal and his is white. So like white charcoal and dark that it, and it's on like gray paper. So it always looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, Amy explains that she is mostly concerned about the demon creatures and they come from the closet because why not?
Why not? Why wouldn't they? That's where that's what they're drawing.
Yeah. Oh, she says its nose was kind of like a pig nose and it had fangs. I'm going to take all those descriptions that she gave of those and put it in AI and see what I get.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So now we're at the reveal.
The reveal.
Reveal. And it's Angie, Maggie, and Leslie.
Oh, my.
At the reveal. Oh, Nathan did not participate.
He was tied up. He was busy. Yeah.
It was night time.
He was in bed. He was a little sweepy baby.
He was sleeping.
He was so cute. I cannot handle him.
He was really
him.
Cute. I know. And you can just imagine what he's going to look like when he's an old man, too.
I know.
He's a little bit of an old man face, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he looks like not a baby, but like a regular person, just shrunken down little.
It's like when they have those babies on TikTok that are born old and all the comments are like, I knew that guy back, worked with him in 83.
He did my taxes in 98. Oh my God, those are so funny.
The funniest people in the entire world are in the TikTok comments section.
I know. I usually I say don't read the comments, but on TikTok, read the comments.
Read them.
Read them because you'll just fucking die
laughing. Half the times when I send Amy a video, I'm just like, just read the comments. Like, don't even watch the video.
I do the same.
Just read the comments.
There's Clara Batten, the British lady who does those, and she has you watch the video and then she goes through all her favorite of the comments and she's laughing so hard she's wheezing and then I'm laughing because I'm laughing at her too and the comments and then Greg will come in and be like, what is going on in here? Are you okay?
No, I'm not.
And I'm choking.
I'm going to have to send you the other one that I follow, Lindsay. Every time she does a video, I pee my pants laughing so hard. I'll send you some of hers.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Anyways.
We haven't talked about TikTok in a long time. So we're doing good.
We're growth, you guys. Growth.
Yeah, growth.
I've been too obsessed with Stardew Valley to really get on TikTok much.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching Love is Blind.
Nice.
Which takes place in Ohio.
Oh, it's all connected.
I know. So he talks about the grain thing, blah, blah, blah. And that a young boy died. And then Angie says, I saw a young boy on the staircase. He was burnt.
Yep.
Burnt all over. She did talk about that earlier.
Yep.
And then Maggie says she's seen him too. Yep. And then Amy says, yeah, they're all over the neighborhood, these people.
Yep.
The people that died in the thing they're all over the neighborhood. And then Amy talks about meeting this older ghost who's here to protect. He's trying to communicate to you by talking to you or through your dreams as well. And first of all, I love protective ghosts.
Yes.
Remember Big J?
From like episode like three like, of Us.
I know, it was really early on. And we were like, oh, I want a Big J.
Yeah.
Because he protects people. Yeah. He was like a big lumberjack or something, wasn't he?
He was, was really huge and he just protected him.
Yeah. So then, Leslie's like, we call him Clarence. I don't know if that's his real name. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And this was before I realized that she might have
I will say Amy did believe her.
Yeah.
Amy was like, he's been trying to communicate with them for years and maybe he was able to get subconsciously through.
Yep. Yep. And there was a time, I think it's a little bit later, but when Steve's like, come on now, really? And Amy goes, that's what happened, Steve.
Yeah. That she's like, he was talking to her in her dream, Steve.
Yeah. Jeez. That happened, Steve.
It's called paranormal. Look it up.
Clarence was pissed about the government not doing the right thing to help the city. And I was like, that's why he had the government paranoia, I bet.
Yep. Yep.
He was always worried about the government, always thinking the government wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And then when they talk about how he was mentally unstable and his wife tried everything, he's in and out of doctors, electroshock therapy, Amy rolled her eyes. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
When she says, it happened, Steve, he's been talking to her for years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's how I felt when
Ambrose.
I asked Ambrose what his name was. Ambrose is my tree, if you're mm-hmm. new here, mm-hmm. my 200 plus year old tree in my backyard. Mm-hmm. And I love that tree. And I went up to him one time, put my hand on, I said, what's your name? And the name Ambrose popped into my head. And I don't know anybody with that name. No. I've heard that name. I know that name. But it's not like that name would just, like, I would make it up.
It's not like your dad's name was Ambrose.
No, my dad's name was not Ambrose. It was Alan.
It was.
So then we talk about the poltergeist.
Your name is Amy. Your uh-huh. dad's name is Alan. Uh-huh. Amy Allen.
Yeah.
Just got that.
You know, early on when we started and we were doing those, we were doing my dad's Alanisms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My dad had dementia. And so toward the end there, he said a lot of really funny things.
Yep.
And his wife, my stepmom, Jackie, wrote them all down. So we used to say them at the beginning, at the beginning of our show, but at the end of the each recording. Episode.
Yeah.
And I would post the Alanisms and I posted one on Twitter. And Amy Allen commented because she thought I was talking about her.
Oh.
She was like, are you making fun of me or something like that? And I'm like, no. My name's Amy. His name is Alan. And she was like, oh, okay.
I would never make fun of you. I love you so much.
I would
much.
Never make fun of you, Amy. Oh my God. Anyway, so they do discuss this poltergeist business. And Amy says there's absolutely a poltergeist. And she says, I don't know if she created this, but she's definitely still feeding it. Mm-hmm. It isn't a fully formed entity at this point, but it can cause a lot of chaos. And I realize she's talking about Maggie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is bringing that.
Yep.
Or who did. I'm sure inadvertently.
Oh, of course. Every time there's been poltergeist, it's almost always been because the person is either a psychic or has abilities that they don't know about.
Yeah, yeah. Or they're going through some emotional turmoil. Yeah. That'll do it too.
Yep.
But Amy says for sure that is not what attacked Angie.
Yeah.
It's not the poltergeist that her daughter created. It's not the older man either. So then she goes into talking about the little demon things.
Yep.
She does say, I do not think that these things were ever alive.
Yeah.
I just think they're inherently evil. Mm-hmm. And then she said someone was saying some type of religious statement and it did make them back up. So she's seeing either Angie doing it or maybe Leslie when the cross was pulled from her. So Steve reiterates, when you guys pray, it stops. And she says, yeah, it does. And so then we get to the sketch. And as soon as Steve is starting to pull it out of the envelope, Amy goes, oh, I feel sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Steve, when looks at it, he swears. I don't know what he said. Shit.
Probably all fucker.
Couldn't tell.
Yeah.
They covered his whole mouth, so I couldn't tell. And then he says, are you kidding me? And they show it, and Angie says, that's what I see.
Yeah. And it's so funny because Angie went, ah, oh, geez.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez.
Oh, golly.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh, jeez. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Gosh darn it.
Okay, Steve did something that I really hated. It just gave me the ick.
What?
Maggie said, I feel guilty. And Steve goes, why would you feel guilty, baby?
Yeah, that was weird.
I
wasn't sure that's really what he said, but that's what the transcript said. And I heard it.
When I was watching Steve. It today, I didn't. I heard him say it. I wasn't reading. Yeah. No. Yeah. And maybe he did it because Angie called her baby, but like that's her daughter. Ugh. It creeps me out.
You don't get to call her baby.
You don't get to call her baby.
No.
It just creeped me
out.
It's
weird. Like honey is a little weird, but it's okay, you know? Yeah. But baby?
No.
You don't know this woman.
No.
She's not your girlfriend.
I don't like it when grown people called other grown people baby.
I don't either. I think it's weird.
Like if you're a couple and you're like, hey, baby. I'm like,
yeah. It's gross.
Ugh, like my name's Megan.
It's better than lover, but
gross.
That is gross. I agree. I don't like that at all. All right. Hello, so then Amy.
Lover. It makes me think of that Will Ferrell sketch with
Yes.
Where they're in the hot tub.
I can't remember who it is. Yeah.
Well, and they're like, hello, lover. Hello, yeah. Love. And they all just die. They're it's all so laughing.
Gross. So
but
gross.
That's kidding, not serious.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, that's funny. Mm-hmm. If it was real, it wouldn't be funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bingo card guy's client has abilities.
Yep. The child in that
room has very strong abilities, Amy
yep.
says.
Yep.
And he comprehended very quickly that he had these abilities and was able to manipulate his environment and therefore began attracting the other demons to come. Now, this kid's two.
I don't like that. I think the word manipulate was wrong because he's not manipulating. He was 2 years old. He figured out he could do something. And when he did something, something happened.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's not manipulating.
Yeah. That's a weird choice
of
words.
It was a weird choice of words.
But also, I can't imagine a two-year-old yeah. understanding that he has abilities.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that was until I was 50-something.
Like, I just think that he's like, oh, if I do this happens.
Yeah.
If I feel this, then this happens.
And he's little enough to not think that's impossible.
Right.
You know, he's little enough to make that distinction, I think, to say that, like you said, when I do this, this happens. Whereas if he was 15 or more older, he would see mm-hmm. it and then be like, oh, but that's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
because
he's little enough that he still is open enough.
Yes.
To,
yeah. That's to a good way ideas. Of saying it.
And I can't imagine what Maggie must be feeling mm-hmm. knowing that her kid.
Yeah.
is being used like that. This Clarence is trying to protect Nathan because mm-hmm. he sees history repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
So Amy says that they need to get in touch with a priest or a demonologist, someone who can perform an exorcism on the home and the property and the negative entities that are present. She wants the exorcism to not incorporate the older man at all.
So and she make wants sure it to tell them, like tell the priest or demonologist
for sure. Leave Clarence out of it. We don't want to do anything bad to Clarence.
He's good.
Then Nathan needs to go to a child psychologist for behavior observation. And then once that's done, give it about 2 or 3 weeks. Really pay attention to his behavior. If it improves substantially, everything's good. If it doesn't, then he as well will need to be exercised.
How would you go about making that appointment? Like, hi.
I don't think you would tell all the information. You would just say, he's acting kind of strange. Here are the things
concerned.
He's doing.
Yeah.
Let's just take a look.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to say Amy Allen.
Yeah, said that my son might be possessed and I need to make sure that after the exorcism is done on the house that he doesn't need to be exorcised as well. Can you just like look at him for that? You just make some notes.
Are you free Tuesday?
Yeah, I could make anything work. I work from home. is there a form I need to fill out or what are we? Is this covered by insurance?
All right. So what she asks to do for Clarence, she asks Angie to go lay in the bed and ask Clarence to come to you. Let him know his work is done, that he did a good job and it's time for him to go. I literally started crying.
That was very
sweet. And I'm getting
teary
right now too. Poor Clarence. He just wants to know that he was helpful.
Yeah. And that he saved people.
Right. So sweet.
Yeah.
So she says Maggie should take up a form of physical but gentle form of exercise such as yoga, tai chi, or qigong.
Yeah.
Qigong. I can't remember how that's pronounced. I want to say it was qigong, but that's not how it's spelled. Anyway, it'll serve as an emotional release.
This is Amy from the future. I do know now that it is pronounced qigong.
And I'm assuming that's supposed to help with the poltergeist activity because that's her. So then they say we'll do what we have to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a little bit about what the exorcism might look like if they have to do it for the little boy. And that he probably wouldn't even know what was going on. It's not going to be like, you know,
a full blown
pea
one.
Soup and spinning of the heads and, you know, crosses and places it shouldn't be and things like that. It's just going to be like somebody praying over him. So.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a movie scene. So then they say Angie and Leslie had an exorcism performed on their house and the activity has subsided.
Wee! This was a good one.
It was a good one. I liked it. It's time for Research and Rabbit Holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder. Okay. I want to mention that since we started this Ohio series,
mm-hmm.
Ohio's been showing up everywhere for me. And like I mentioned, the phenomena called Bader-Meinhof. That's what it's called.
Got it.
With the nickel thing. But also, I wonder if this is a little bit of the algorithm, too, because we've been talking about Ohio. So it's probably like Ohio stuff showing up in my, you know, Instagram reels. But Love is Blind season 10 started. Mm-hmm. Takes place in Ohio, which is weird because all of those have been cities, not states.
Yeah.
So it's Minneapolis, not Minnesota. It's Seattle, not Washington. This one's Ohio. It's not Columbus. It's not Toledo. It's just Ohio.
Interesting.
Which I thought was weird. Then Grab Bag Collab, which is home to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, talked about a special Ohio event that they're having. And then there was a listener. This is not one of those things that like popped up. It just happens to be. Listener Patrick, he comments a lot on Spotify. He commented that Ohio is his hometown. And he wondered if Kent State was haunted. And I Googled it and it's very, very haunted.
Isn't so, that where that shooting took place?
It was like a protest. So that might be something to look at. Hauntings actually in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Anyway, no luck. No luck finding the clients.
It's a family podcast.
Yes, it is. But I did find an article from the Toledo Blade written by Kirk Baird, the man that
had the drink.
Cocktail. Yep. Yeah. But I couldn't get to it because I had to pay well, but I didn't feel like paying for it. I did find the house, though. It was in the newspaper article about Clarence Brown.
Oh.
So I did. It did find the house and I found a picture of it and then I confirmed it's the same house. So about the house. The house was sold in 2004 for basically $49,000, to I assume, to Angie, since this was 10 years later.
Yeah, and they said they've been there for 12 years.
Yeah, so close enough. And then it sold in 2017 for $17,000. So it went from $49,000 to $17,000. Then it was listed for sale in 2019 for $12,000. Then the price dropped to $9,900. And it sold for $8,000 in 2019.
I wonder if it was super rundown.
I think it was. The pictures on Zillow look pretty.
Pretty rundown. Pretty dilapidated. Yeah.
So it was listed again in 2022 for $45,000. And it was pending a sale. And then the listing was removed. So I'm guessing, based on the pictures on Zillow, it didn't pass inspection. But that was way long after Angie and Leslie were gone. Okay, so Clarence Alfred Brown. I liked Clarence. I thought he seemed sweet.
He did.
I did find an article about the raid. This is the article that had his address in it. Just on a Facebook post. It was a picture of the article, and then the words of the article are in there. But it says he started this massive counterfeit money ring made up of young men his age, including his brother and father. Secret Service agents raided his printing plant at the Huron Street one, where the young men had been producing high-quality bogus bills for 2 years. That fair-haired Brown said after he graduated from Waite High School, he wanted to go to college to become a doctor, but he couldn't afford it. So he studied engraving and decided to raise money by counterfeiting. Or print money, I guess.
Yeah.
The Secret Service says his bills were excellent quality and he was one of the best.
Wow.
He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything on his family. Nothing's on Find a Grave. I didn't see anybody there. Mm. I did find through ancestors.familysearch. He married Florence Eleanor Nightingale. Her name was Florence Nightingale. Isn't that funny?
That 1940, is funny.
When he got married, it showed his occupation as a cameraman.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was a marriage license that showed. That's where I found the address, not the article. The article had the Huron address. Oh, okay. Bob Poirier, retired homicide detective, sadly, has passed. He died November 23rd, 2017 at the age of 78. He seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he did seem like a nice guy.
There was a nice obituary about him and stuff.
Nice.
The Parks family, Mr. Park, that is the superintendent who has children there. That checks out. I didn't look any more into it, but like I said, there was this explosion. There was a really yucky explanation of what happened to Gracie, his daughter.
Let's not do
There's that. A couple of articles. I will link to these. Peter Haas is the night watchman. He is so far known as the only man who escaped from the building uninjured. He was at the top floor only a few minutes before the explosion occurred and was certainly very fortunate to escape unharmed.
Wow.
Yeesh. So I asked Google about the Toledo Rust Belt context and about the counterfeiting. And they said in the 1930s, Toledo, Ohio, the economy had effectively collapsed with employment reaching as high as 80%.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Banks closing, counterfeiting could have been justified by a desperate individual as even a moral or even a good act.
Yeah.
And then it says, an alternative to no-win situations, some, like 21-year-old Toledo in 1935, who created a massive counterfeiting ring.
Yeah.
And then...
I don't think he did it to be a criminal. I don't think he wasn't a criminal. He was trying to help.
Right. He was trying to help. They called him like a Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He didn't spend all that money.
No.
He put it into the community.
Yeah.
Which helped the community because the stores can't survive if people don't have any money to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah.
People in charge right now. It's pretty obvious.
Listen to us. We know stuff.
So I also looked up electroconvulsive therapy, which shock therapy, ECT, has undergone a dramatic transformation since its inception in the 30s.
It shouldn't even be used.
It's gross, but evolving from unanesthetized procedure into a highly refined, safe, and controlled medical treatment for severe mental illness. I'm like, modern ECT uses anesthesia and muscle relaxants to minimize the
effects. Depends on what they're trying to treat.
Yeah, I don't really like.
I don't think it's good. I think we should just not use it.
Yeah, I think that. I would like that if we did not use that. All right, so that's all I got on that.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks everybody.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yep.
Or tonight.
Ohio
or
one next.
Whenever you're joining us.
Yeah.
Amy, do you want to tell us what we're listening to next week?
Sure. Next week, we'll have one more Ohio one before we move on to another series. So I'm not really sure what the series will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I had said to let us know your ideas for series. Mm-hmm. So then I Googled it because I'm pretty sure that's not right. The word series is what they call a zero plural noun.
Oh, meaning so the spelling
does not change.
Yeah.
It's series.
Series and series.
One series, two series.
Red series, blue series.
Anyway, so series, plural, could be based on things like location, cities, states, areas like the Everglades, Appalachia.
Theme.
What?
Theme.
Theme.
Like
clients,
all,
like reluctant husband or...
All clients are named Deborah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pulled that one out of nowhere.
The things that Amy recommends would be all the same, like shaman or priestess, chaos magician. Spirits, like a theme of spirits, like angry women or... creepy children.
Or portals. We have a lot of portals.
Portals, yep. And I would say that these don't even have to be all dead files. We could pick out one dead files, one kindred spirits, one ghost brothers or ghost hunters, just, you know, almost any other paranormal show, almost any other show. So if you have ideas, send them our way. Mm-hmm. And if we pick your story, we'll not only give you a shout out, but if you plan the whole series and we do that, you'll get a producer credit.
What?
Give you a producer credit. Yep. So next week, Megan.
Next week, we are doing season 14, episode 11 called Buried. This is our third and final in our Ohio series. And it is a sacred. Oh, no. Scared.
Same thing.
A scared single mother whose family is being terrorized by the paranormal. And she fears the dark entities running rampant in her home may destroy the life she has worked so hard to build. Original air date of March 26, 2022, and Cindy from Patreon suggested it. She's been with us since March of 2024. So happy 2-year anniversary, patron anniversary, Cindy.
Happy anniversary, Cindy. Whoop, whoop. Thank you, Cindy. All right. So Yeah, there's a lot of March showing up here. The release date for this one, the original air date for next week, and Cindy's anniversary date, mm-hmm. and when this one's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, release date for this one. That's what that means.
That's what that
just
means.
In case you didn't get that.
Yep.
All right. So, thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
The Activity Continues is not affiliated with Warner Brothers, Max, Travel Channel, Painless Productions, or The Dead Files, nor are we connected to the cast or crew. We are simply fans who recap and discuss past episodes for entertainment and community building purposes. We are not investigators, mediums, or paranormal professionals, and we do not accept or investigate case submissions. The Dead Files is no longer in production, though it continues to stream on various platforms. If you are seeking assistance for activity in your home or business, we recommend researching reputable investigators or professionals in your area and carefully reviewing their credentials and experience. Some people choose to begin by asking for recommendations with trusted local communities.